to talk to you this morning about this message God gave me about 2 weeks ago. And I was, and he says, this is going to be the message for the next Communion Sunday. That's why, again, we are going to celebrate Communion after the message, because the message is related to this. I want to talk to you about the resurrection history's turning point. It's something amazing because when we understand the project, the plan of redemption, then we are able to waste our time in God's presence. I just loved it. If you think you are wasting your life in God, that's true. God wants it. The best place to spend your life is in God's presence. Amen. For Him. Amen.
Amen.
So resurrection means dying for ourselves and being alive again for God. Amen. To serve Him. To walk with Him. And I was reading some book, and I found this principle, and I said, wow, this can be a message. And I did it. So the resurrection history's turning point. Because when we understand resurrection, then we are in a turning point. Because before understanding that, we were stuck in our day-by-day living, in our very poor and miserable life. But because we understood the plan of redemption, God gave us a turnaround. Can I hear
amen?
Let's read Luke chapter 18. If you have a Bible, please turn your Bible into Luke 18, verse 31 to 34. I just want to pray for somebody that is online watching us. Somebody asked for prayer for someone who is with a brain cancer. I command to this brain cancer right now, get out from this body.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If she asked for prayer, it's because she believes in miracle.
Yes.
And we here believe in miracle.
Yes.
We preach about miracle.
Yes.
We live by miracle.
Yes.
Our lives is a miracle.
Yes.
Because of your transformation, because of your resurrection in us. Lord, I just pray against this brain cancer, and I command, stop it now. Get out from this brain. Get out from this head. And I proclaim healing. Come upon this person right now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 18, verse 31. Are you there? Then he took the 12. Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked, and insulted, and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him. And the third day, he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. Tell somebody, the disciples didn't understand anything. Jesus was revealing the plan, things that was about to happen in a few days ahead, but the disciples didn't understand it. They didn't get it. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. The amazing thing, or I could say the funny thing in this passage, is if you go there in the Bible, you are already there, and if you see the following verses from the verse 36, Jesus was healing a blind man. A blind man, he heard about Jesus, he was in the town, and he started to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus came to him and healed him. What a funny stuff this. Just open the bracket here. Jesus was talking to people, his disciples, who was walking with him for 3.5 years. They were totally in health, in a healthy situation, eyes, sight, feelings, heart, movements, and they didn't see what Jesus was telling them. But in a minute ahead, there was a blind man asking to see, to recover his sight, and Jesus went there and allowed him to see again. It's not about having a sight. That means you have a vision. Lots of people, they see things, but they don't have vision. Amen? So we could say a blind person can have a vision more than someone who sees normally. Because vision is much more deep than just having a sight. Okay? So these guys heard about Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They knew what the prophet said 700 years before. But when Jesus told them, well, we are going to Jerusalem, and all this stuff that is written about me is going to happen. And they didn't realize it. They were like under anesthetic. Anesthetic. They were not feeling it. They were not understanding it when Jesus said it to them. This is very strange. But friends, thankfully, the story did not end with Jesus in the grave. On the third day after his crucifixion, he was raised from the dead, and on numerous occasions afterwards, he appeared to his disciples and to hundreds of others. And 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven. Amen. And about 500 people saw him physically with their eyes. They saw him going back to heaven. So when we see this passage, when we read this passage, we must consider some points here that is really amazing and is really important for our lives. So let's consider every step of this amazing episode that Jesus said is going to happen in a few days. We are going to Jerusalem. Be prepared. The amazing thing is Jesus, when he said everything that is about to happen with him, he said it in a third person. He said, he will be delivered. He will be mocked. He will be killed. They will kill him. But on the third day, he will be alive again. Amen. So he didn't say about himself, "They will do this with me." He said, the Son of Man is going to Jerusalem, and this and this and this and this is going to happen to him. But he was talking about himself. So, when we understand this episode, we can grab here from this passage an amazing lesson. First, the redemption plan was predicted 700 years before Christ. There is no time, friends, there is no time that can qu- quench or can make your plan or your dream or the promise God has for you disappear. No matter when God gave you a promise, He will do it. If God says yes, this is going to happen. If God says you are going to be a dad again, you are going to be a dad again. It doesn't matter when God made this promise, He will fulfill it.
Amen.
Amen? Because all these things that Jesus said, we are about to see these things being fulfilled. We are going to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about this guy, me, is going to happen. But that was written 700 years before. And God never forgot His promise. And He never forgets the promise He made for you. If He says, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to give you a family, I'm going to honor you, I'm going to raise you up from the ashes, God will do it.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how much devil is going to work hard against you to try to frustrate his plan, to try to frustrate your dream, to try to frustrate his plan for you. Doesn't matter how hard devil will work, he will never succeed, because the one who made the promise is nothing less or more than our God and Savior.
Amen.
Amen. And if he says yes, it's going to be yes. If he says no, it's going to be no. Nothing can change it. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? Isaiah 53 verse 45 says, Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was cursed for our transgression and was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Do you know how many years before these words were written? 700 years. And now Jesus is about to leave this word. This word is about to be reality in their lives. And the disciples, maybe because 700 years, you know, is enough for you to forgive something. To forget, yeah. To forget. Oh, thank you for paying attention. I just tested you. 700 years is enough to forget plans, dreams. And I want to challenge you this morning. Go in your drawer today and see how many projects, how many plans, how many dreams are there. And you think, God forgot me. Let me tell you, He didn't forget you. He's still alive. And He said, and what He said is going to happen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Maybe in a few days, maybe in a few years, I don't know. But this is going to happen because He is God.
Amen.
Amen. Number two, God is immutable. Say with me, immutable.
Immutable,
thank you. And so is His plan for saving mankind. He never changed His plan. If His plan was to save mankind, He's still on it.
Amen.
And your life is included. Your name is already there. Could you tell somebody, your name is already there? Your name is already there. And nobody can take your name out of that list.
Yes. Amen.
Jesus said, I know my sheep, and nobody is able to snatch them from me.
Amen.
You are part of this team, You are part of this church. You are part of this spiritual family that is around the world. And your name is already there, and nothing can change it. Say with me, nothing can change it. Nothing can change it. Nothing can change it. Oh, do you think our God is something like, oh wow, today I'm in another feeling. I'm in another vibe. God doesn't live by vibe. He produced the vibe. He's the creator of the vibe. He created all the feelings. He created the authority. He says yes, and this is going to be reality. And nothing can change it. Nothing can change it. He promised and he will fulfill it. Amen?
Amen.
No matter what happens, he is still God. Sometimes circumstances come to make the picture become blurrier. Sometimes situation comes to make our vision not to perceive it. Like disciples were hearing these words about this thing that was about to happen a few days ahead, and they should be there seeing all these things, but they were like, huh? What? Wake up, man. It's not a time to be sleeping, walking. It's not a time to walk in that. It's not a time to be distracted by anything else. Jesus said, all things that has been written about me and you is about to happen.
Amen.
It's about to happen. Amen. Because Jesus said so, this is going to happen. Amen. That was not an easy task for me. That was not an easy task for God to send his son. But he predicted. He said 700 years before that this is going to happen, and he promised it. He promised it. What is the promise God gave to you many years ago? Can you tell me one that he did say to you he's going to do with you, and he did it? Tell me one. Tell me what?
God promised me a son, and I got a son.
Yes.
Amen. Me too.
Me too. Yeah. Who else?
God promised me a good life.
Yes.
Amen.
And you have?
Amen.
A good life. Yes. This week I went to the place where you are working now. It's a good place. Well done. It's really a good life.
He's promised me children and children. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
What else? Tell me. Good. Tell me more. Tell me more.
Good health.
Yes.
Wealth, riches in abundance in every way. Wow.
Is he faithful?
Yes. Forever.
Tell me one thing, if you want, that he said, I'm going to do, but it didn't happen yet. You are waiting for that.
America.
Please, Lord, don't hear me. Didn't happen yet.
Kids.
I love that.
My wife.
A wife?
Yeah.
Husband?
To come out of, I'm currently employed by the NHS, so to come out of that and set up on my own. Yeah.
Your own company?
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah,
fantastic. Didn't happen yet? But are you giving up?
No.
Are you giving up?
No.
Are you giving up?
No.
Of course not, because he is still alive. And you are still alive. If you are still alive, there is a time for God to fulfill every plan, every dream for you.
Amen. Woo!
There is a time.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Amen. Amen.
What does the word all mean?
Abundance.
Everything. Not just some. Not just some. All things. All things that he promised, he will do it for us. Amen. And number three, by his promise, he also sent the Holy Spirit after the ascension. Ascension. Amen. So 10 days after Jesus Ascension, the Holy Spirit descended on his followers by his promise. When he went up back to heaven, he said, the angel said to the disciples, why are you looking to us? In the same way he has been taken, he's gonna come back. And Jesus said, in the day I get there, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos in Greek. Parakletos means someone like me, who will stay with you for a few days.
Forever.
What is your Bible say?
Forever.
Someone who is going to stay with you forever. And he's going to remind you everything I taught you.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So Jesus said, as soon as I get there, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So that was the day of Pentecost. 50 days after crucifixion, he came back. The Holy Spirit came down. The Holy Spirit came as a holy visitation, and the church was born in that day. The church was born in that day. And the church was born that day. Because that day was very important. Amen? Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to do everything he was supposed to do for us by his promise. So he's faithful, friends. He gives us everything we need. He gives us everything we need.
Yes.
Amen. Even things that you didn't ask yet, he has already prepared for you. In the day you ask, you are going to receive.
Amen.
Amen. Because he knows everything we need. Yes or no?
Yes.
He knows everything we need. So his promise is always his promise. He will never forget this promise. Everything he said is going to happen. This is going to happen. See what Acts chapter 2. Acts of Apostles chapter 2 verse 1 to 4 says. Are you there? When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Isn't that amazing? That was the day of a holy visitation. I know we normally say, oh, Holy Spirit, come upon my life. But we don't need to pray like this anymore. Actually, the Holy Spirit already came. We don't need to say, Holy Spirit. Nothing wrong if you say it. Sometimes I say it, though. you know, God understands our expression. But actually, if you think about what you are saying, you are asking the Holy Spirit to come again, and He will not come again because He came to stay. The second coming of the Holy Spirit, He came to stay, to live inside of you. If you see in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was there, wasn't He? He was there also. He was with David, He was with Samson, He was with Elijah, with all these guys, Moses. But the Bible says every time they performed miracle, the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit came and took possession of them. After they did supernatural, the Holy Spirit left them. Because in that time, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit didn't live in people's lives. He used to come occasionally. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Once the Holy Spirit came at this time in the Pentecost, He came to stay.
Yes.
Once He lives inside of you, He never leaves you.
Yes.
He never leaves you.
Yeah.
He never leaves you. But He's going to be always inside of you.
Amen.
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 Are you with me?
Yes.
So Acts of Apostles can tell us every words of the Holy Spirit. Because from this passage on, the Bible, the church has been born. And the church has been born by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So when Jesus was back to heaven, He said, stay in Jerusalem. Don't do anything. Don't preach the gospel. Don't pray for anybody. Don't evangelize. Don't do anything. Stay together praying in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. Because without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. Amen?
Amen.
So when the Holy Spirit came, then He established His church. And now these guys were full of the Holy Spirit, and they went around Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And then we have the Bible today. Because of these guys, that they were full of the Holy Spirit. They waited for the Holy Spirit. They were all together, says here. Then they stayed in one accord in one place, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. 10 days after Jesus went back to heaven, 10 days after the Holy Spirit came and He established the church. Amen? So the whole book of Acts of Apostles talks about the manifestation of the apostles by the Holy Spirit. Because if there wasn't the Holy Spirit there, they couldn't do anything. So now let me show you something. Open up your Bible in Acts chapter 29. Can't you find it? Acts 29? Can't you find it?
No.
Why?
It's not there.
It's us.
Do you know why Acts 29 is still in blank page? Because you and me, we are not doing enough. In the day we wake up full of the Holy Spirit, and start to evangelize, to touch people's lives, to bless people's lives, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, Acts 29 will be written. Acts 30 is going to be written. Acts 31 is going to be written. Acts 32 is going to be written. Because you and me, Peter, John, Paul, Philip, they are not here anymore. You are in charge. You are in charge. So we must value the plan of redemption. And we must honor every single promise God Jesus gave to us. And go into the world and make disciples. And let's write down Acts 29. Amen. So my altar call today is going to be, let's all stand up right now in the name of Jesus. Who is here in this room today that is willing to write down Acts chapter 29? Who is willing to write down Acts 29? This altar call is for you. You don't need to come forth. Because my goal is every single one in this room is willing to produce facts, episodes that will be written in Acts 29, Acts 30, 31, 32, and so on. Amen. Amen. I work for this. Acts 29. Could you ask somebody, Acts 29? Come on. Give me Acts 29. Acts 29. Because the resurrection plan is real. And there was a turning point. There was a turning point when the Holy Spirit came. The turning point happened. And they changed the world. They changed the world. They changed the world. But unfortunately, Acts just stopped in chapter 28. Why? Why? Because God is expecting us to write down the next one. The next one. The next one. Amen. Let's pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being here today, Lord. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for talking to us. Thank you for revealing your word into our hearts. Thank you for interpreting this word in the way we can understand. Don't let us be like the disciples in that day, that you were speaking to them and they didn't understand none. They didn't understand anything. But Lord, today, I want to prophesy. Eyes be open right now. Hearts be open right now. Eyes be open, not just giving us a sight, but give us a vision. A vision to carry on. To carry on preaching the gospel, sharing Jesus everywhere. Populating heaven and making hell empty in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And those who understand this message and those who are willing to write down Acts 25, Acts 29, give a big shout right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.